Speaker is Dr. Zhu Zhongcai, who is from China. So thanks for Dr. Cai to take more than maybe 16 hours flight to be here to just give us a talk. And Dr. Cai is a professor at Nanjing Soil Science Research Institute in Chinese Academy of Sciences. That could be the might be the biggest institute on soil science in this world. There are more than 200 people, I mean 200 faculty members and staff there. Dr. Cai research focuses on the soil carbon and the nitrogen cycles and the global climate change, and the relationship between soil organic carbon decomposition and the soil carbon balance, nitrification, denitrification, and the relationship between the nitrogen oxide and agriculture diffuse pollution. So now it's time. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Thanks, Dr. He and Dr. Xi, invite me to give a presentation here. I will have a chance to give a presentation about N2O emission from the fertilizer from croplands of China and mitigation options. I think maybe many people already know this figure about nitrogen consumption in China, there's a time causes. If we look at this curve, we will find there are several phases. The increase is quite different. From 1961, before 1961, we don't have exact data, because from the FAO, its data is started from 1961. To 1976, this is the year many people still remember, this is the end of the Cultural Revolution. So in this phase, nitrogen consumption increased, but very slowly. Before 1960s, very little nitrogen consumed in China. And then slowly increased to 1976. After 1976, the end of the Cultural Revolution, the China began to reform, and we called open our door. Then the production ability increased a lot, and the farmers need more fertilizer, and the government encouraged farmers to use more fertilizer. So the nitrogen consumption increased very fast until to 1996. The year, many people still maybe remember our former Prime Minister Zhu Yongji, he thought our food security already resolved, so we don't need to produce more food. And the government stopped to encourage farmers to produce food. And then the next year, the nitrogen fertilizer consumption decreased a lot, and our food production also decreased a lot. After several years, the government realized the food security is still a very serious problem. So they encouraged farmers to use more fertilizer and produce more food. The nitrogen fertilizer consumption still now continuously increase, but the increase rate less smaller than the 1972 to 1996. So from this figure we can see nitrogen fertilizer is very important for food security. This figures also show us the so important of nitrogen fertilizer for food security. This is the fertilizer consumption. And this is the food yield. You see, have a very good relationship. And the fertilizer consumption and the total food production, also a very good relationship. So when we talk about fertilizers impact, now many are negative, like nitrification, greenhouse gas emission, and loss of biodiversity, but we still need nitrogen fertilizer for food security. We can see it's very important for food security. Of course, the nitrogen fertilizer, although caused many environmental problems, it's mainly a negative. So Dr. He already mentioned the eutrophication is very serious in the surface water, and may also pollute the groundwater of nitrate approaching to groundwater. Today, I'd like to talk about N2 emission. Of course, N2 emission already became the most important contributor to the total N2 emission from cropland of China. We talk it because there is a very large space to reduce nitrogen fertilizer consumption. This can reduce N2 emission and by through the enhanced nitrogen use efficiency. So when we talk about N2 emission from croplands, in China, there are two different kinds of croplands. One is upland, second rice fields. N2 emission from the upland and the rice fields so different. So we have to separate to discuss about the N2 emission from upland soil and from rice field. Generally speaking, N2 emission factors emission factor is much less from rice field than the from upland soils. Maybe some of you still remember is that before 1990, soil scientists believed that N2 emission almost can be negative or we can ignore in the rice fields, because someone may have misunderstand about the rice fields. Rice fields are not always continuously flooded. If always continuously flooded, it's emission almost zero. It's true. But in fact, when we produce rice, the rice fields are not always continuously flooded. So N2 also can emit it. Now, we realized rice fields also a big source, an important source of N2O, but emission factor much smaller than the upland soil. We can see this from this history of the IPCC guidelines for national greenhouse gas emission inventory. So in the 1996 version, they are not classified upland soil and rice fields. Just use the same emission factor, 1.25% of nitrogen applied. And the good practice guidelines 2000 version also did not distinguish uplands and rice fields. A new version is published in 2007. It's called 2006 guidelines. Now, the divided uplands, the emission is 1%, and the rice fields is 0.3%. It's only about 1/3 of upland soils. So from the upland soils, this is a quite a typical figure of, about N2 emission during the maize season and winter season, winter wheat season. In China, normally have two crop seasons or even three crop seasons a year. So in the North China, the typical is summer maize and then winter wheat. So we can see from this figure, during the summer season, after fertilizer, there are peak of N2 emission. And then fertilizer again, there is another peak of N2 emission. But for the winter wheat, only during the seedling, there is a large peak of N2 emission. After that, because of low temperature, N2 emission is very, very small. If from the rice fields, we can see this also a quite typical one. There are some peak emissions. Between this, almost no N2 emission. But we note this rice fields is not on only rice. Normally, rice is a summer season, and then winter wheat or oil seeded up in the winter season. So before two crops, there is a short period of failure. During failure, a large into emission. Like between winter wheat to rice, also a big peak of into emission. So this emission is also sometimes also related to precipitations. So in the upland soil, we can divide the into emission from background emission. It means not fertilized, no fertilizer, and then into also emitted. So it's this emission we call background into emission from croplands. It has a national scale. We can see there is a very good relationship with soil total nitrogen content or total organic carbon. Because there is a ratio of carbon and nitrogen, so always have a good relationship. And another factor is bag density. The low bag density, high into emission. So high bag density, less into emission, because soil is compact, it's not easy to release into O. And for the total emissions across the country, there is a very good relationship with the precipitation of into emission. So is that mean in China we know from south to north, the precipitation decreases. South is very wet and north very dry. And from east to west are the same. East is wet and west is dry. So there is a very good relationship. Then normally more into emitted from South China than the North China if it is and the same application rate. As in the rice fields, it's different. The rice fields, if continuously flooded, it's very small amount into emitted, just occasionally, sometimes can emit into O. So, no relationship with nitrogen application rate, almost no relationship. If rice field drainage during rice growth once, they have a good relationship with nitrogen application rate. And the emission factor is about 0.42. Person. And if drainage several times during the rice growth, the emission factor increases to 0.73%. So in the rice fields, the water region is very important, maybe more important than nitrogen application rate. Continuously flooded, even very high nitrogen applicated to 400 kilograms per hectare. Still very small into emitted. This is why before 1990s, soil scientists believed there was almost no into emitted from rice fields. But now we realize that because rice fields are drainaged during rice growth, so into also can emit it from rice fields. So now we can summarize the factors affecting into emission from croplands at the national scale of China. For the upland soils, background is mainly related to soil organic carbon or nitrogen. And the second is the soil bag density. The compact soils less into emission. If fertilizer induces into emission, it depends on nitrogen application rate and precipitation. This relationship also exists in the soils without fertilizer. Now from north to south China, it's the emission is mainly controlled by precipitation. For the rice fields, background into emission is a water region. And fertilizer-induced into emission also water region. The second is nitrogen application rate. So it's for the upland soils, nitrogen application rate is more important thing maybe than the precipitation or water region. For the rice field, water region is the first important at the national scale. And then the second factor is nitrogen application rate. Of course, there are many other factors we can find. And so totally, how much natural imaged from cropland of China? In fact, there are a lot of data already accumulated, the field measurement data already accumulated in China, from south to north, from east to west. And estimates also made by many researchers. The first estimate published in 1995, it looks like too small. This data just based on one field measurement in North China, and then get to the about 120 kilogram per year. But obviously, this is too underestimated. And after that, the estimate about 300 to less than 500 kilogram per year nitrogen. So it's although we know N2 emission is very sporadically, it's difficult to catch it. It's sometimes it emits very large, sometimes no N2 emission. But the estimate N2 emission, it looks like a quite narrow range. Use different approaches. Someone use just based on the field measurement, saying scaling up to the national control. Some use model, some use IPCC guidelines. So, but the results are quite similar, not big difference. But this one is shows estimate from the fertilizer. The fertilizer is the same. It's mainly about 200 kilogram per year nitrogen from cropland in China. This is the also is also quite similar. So how much the percentage of nitrogen fertilizer induced N2 emission? Some person so estimated. This is use the model of DNDC model. This use IPCC guidelines. The percentage from fertilizer is to total is about 40% to 50%, something like 60%, something like this. So, in fact, this percentage may be the highest in the world. Like the United States or other countries, nitrogen fertilizer induced N2O may be much less. Saying this percentage, maybe I'm not sure in the United States, but in East Asia and Southeast and South Asia, and China is the biggest one. So this is understandable because our population density is very high, our arable land is very limited. We have to use more fertilizer to produce food, and then more N2O emitted from the croplands. Of course, the nitrogen fertilizer consumption changed every year and increase generally increase from 1960 to today. So this as an estimate is just based on 1 year. So someone estimated N2 emission from the 1950 to 1990s is also increase is understandable because nitrogen fertilizer application increase. So it's from the rice fields, it's increased from 9.6 to 32.3 kilogram per year only from rice fields. So finally, I'd like to talk about the mitigation options. So first one, of course, is a prevention of excess application of nitrogen fertilizer, especially in upland soils. If we use too much nitrogen fertilizer, more N2O were emitted. Here, in these days, I found many presentations show that China and the application rate may be about 500 to 600 per hectare per year. But I think it's on the average in the world, the national average is too much. It's not true. It's only it may be true in the east side of China, but not west side. in China, nitrogen fertilizers, there is two extremes. One is too little, and one is too much. So in the too little, in the like a mountain area and waste area, it's still too little. But in the east, it's too much. So we should be avoid use too much nitrogen fertilizer, but some areas will still need more nitrogen fertilizer. The other is unnecessary irrigation of upland, or drainage of rice fields. We know the drainage of rice fields enable to mitigate methane emission, like IPCC guidelines. The water regime of rice fields divided continuously flooding if the scaling up is one, and drainage once is just only 0.6. There is a trade-off relationship with into emission. So if drainage more and less methane emission, but more into emission. Another important issue is avoid keep soil moisture. Just a range of the soil water saturation. The range of water saturation in the soil, the big into emitted. If you're very dry, very less into emission. If flooded, less into emission. Along the saturated water saturation, very big into emission. So in China, someone not trust us, we call it moisture irrigation, just to keep saturation of soil. In such cases, into emission is very, very large, actually. So the up is use nitrogen fertilizer. It's without nitrogen fertilizer, it's the same. So if you keep the soil moisture in the water saturation, very large into will be emitted. The another way is to use application of nitrification inhibitor. This looks like less debate on the mitigation effect because we know nitrogen will slow nitrification and release N2O, and then through denitrification release N2O also. If without nitrification, N2O, of course, it can reduce a lot. But in the field, the effect looks like very positive, and less debate on these options. There are any other options these options not very less confirmed. Like use control or slow release fertilizer. The day maybe before yesterday, I hear one present use control fertilizer. Control release fertilizer and no effect on reduction of N2O emission. The same, we also have a similar result, sometimes even increase N2O emission. And no tillage, minimum tillage, someone say can reduce N2O emission, but some are not. And others, like in cooperation with crop residual, sometimes, some case, as I observed, reduce N2O emission, but sometimes the increase N2O emission. So this effect not yet confirmed. I'd like to emphasize the effect on mitigation option on emission from cropland should be assessed not only on short term, but also long term. What mean long term? At least 1 year. Many measurements are just very short, 1 month growing season, crop growing season. Maybe effect is a positive or negative, but annually, the effect may be changed. So long-term measurement is necessary. The second is we have to consider the trade-off relationship between N2O and other greenhouse gas emissions, and maybe also another economic causes. So not only consider N2O emission, we should have to consider others, like use a nitrification inhibitor that costs more, but if we could not increase the crop yield. The farmers may not adopt such options. So I'd like to cite Dr. Moser's words, any strategies which increase the use efficiency of nitrogen will reduce into emission. Then finally, we have to increase nitrogen use efficiency, then we can reduce into emission. Okay, thank you.
Any questions?
No, actually, it's very important, the denitrification. It's depending on where. Maybe you know the paper just published in Soil Science Society of American Journal. It's the results measured in North China. The entry mainly is from, mainly from nitrification, not denitrification. But in the lithospheres, another paper is published in Journal of Geophysical Research, I think, GGR. The measured in lithospheres, entry mainly from denitrification. So it depends on what kind of soils and the water regimes.
Yeah. Following pattern, the national pattern, the N2O emission, and also the rice pattern, it seems denitrification will dominate.
Yes.
Dr. Tai, thank you for the information, that's good. And I wonder, do you have any information about emission of N2 and also NO in China compared to N2O?
Oh, yeah. There are not many data about NO, many are N2O, but just a few. I think the mainly measured by Dr. Zeng in the Institute of Atmosphere Physics in Beijing. Not stabilized. And recently, my group is measuring NO and N2O. And the forest soil is almost equal of NO and N2O. If you can reduce N2O, most cases also can reduce NO.
So in your background for the upland, why the precipitation is not a factor to affect the nitrogen oxide emission?
It's also a factor, is an important factor. So, but maybe soil organic carbon and nitrogen is more important than the precipitation. It's understandable. We know that in the soil types, the organic soils is the biggest source of N2O. So it's related to nitrogen and carbon. Yeah.
Okay. So thanks, Dr. Tsai, and all the other speakers for excellent works today. Very interesting topic and a discussion. At this moment, I just want to express my appreciation to Dr. He Zhenli and Dr. Wang Dong, Dr. Yan Wengui in the Chinese Association for the Soil and the Plant Scientist, and Dr. Liang Cao and Mr. Xiaojun Lu from the Environmental and Public Health Network for Chinese Students and Scholars. And thanks for all for coming today. Thanks.
Before you leave, I would like to acknowledge the big contribution from Dr. Xu.
Oh, thanks.
He has been doing tremendous jobs in organizing this symposium. Thank you very much.
Thanks. It's my honor. Yeah. I'm just curious, can
all... Okay, thank you all the audience for your come.
Thanks.